Let's head over to the book of Hebrews. Turn to chapter 10. We're going to continue in our series while I kind of clean up the podium here. But we're going to continue on today with the book of Hebrews, and this is the focus, that everything in life, everything that we really need is available through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And again, the author of the book of Hebrews, through the Holy Spirit, he was talking to young Hebrews, young Jews who were transitioning their thought patterns to this new way of thinking. You know, there's an old hymn we used to sing. And tell you what, let's sing the chorus together. I think most of you know it. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. That's the message of Hebrews 10. But He breaks that all down. And this is what we've been seeing in recent chapters. The sacrifice of Jesus really has paid the price for our sins once and for all. But sin does leave a crimson stain. Spoils things. It messes things up. You know, I look at my own life. It causes us to do things to hurt others. Causes us to do things to hurt ourselves. And it alienates us from God. Sin creates a crimson stain. By its very nature, it messes up your life. Now, let's say you take a look at the Ten Commandments and you decide, you know what, I'm just going to break every one of these. I'm going to break them all. And you do that. What happens is you end up all miserable, isolated, and you find you got a string of broken relationships behind you, and you got this nagging certainty that you failed to reach your potential in life. That's what sin does, though. And that's why God's against it. As humans, we're prone to sin. We are imperfect beings. We fall down again. And again, we need forgiveness, don't we? We need salvation. We need restoration. And the message in the book of Hebrews is that all these things are available through Jesus Christ. He came into the world to forgive your sins and to heal your brokenness. He came to do that for as many as who would receive Him. The book of John says, to all who believed Him and accepted Him, He gave the right to become children of God. That's John 1:12. That's my favorite verse when a person gets saved and I meet with them again maybe a week later or something and I say, do you know you're saved? How do you know you're saved? And this is a great verse. John 1:12. It's a great verse to just show that to all who received Him, not to some. He didn't pick and choose after you gave your heart to the Lord. No. You're saved. You're saved. In recent weeks, we've talked about the old sacrificial system. That it wasn't in itself perfect, but it pointed the way to Jesus. Imagine living back in those times. Every whip stitch, you're taking in a bull or a goat or a sheep or something to sacrifice. Then on your way, you take about three steps away from the altar when the priest is done with the sacrificial part of it, and you stub your toe and you go, oh! Well, see you next time, you know. Imperfect. It was imperfect. That's because it's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. Only God can forgive sin. But the great news is God's willing to do that. Yours, mine's, everybody else's. And He's chosen to demonstrate this forgiveness through His Son, Jesus Christ. And it's a once and for all thing. So this whole problem of sin has been settled. Once and for all. Your need for forgiveness has been settled once and for all. Your guilt, your shame, your regrets have been settled once and for all, dear Christian. And so today we're going to look at this, what this once and for all really means. We're going to boil that down a little bit. And the first thing I want you to see this morning is that we have once and for all forgiveness. Under the old system, people were always looking up to the next sacrifice. Well, I know I messed up yesterday. I get the bull, get the sheep, got to get heading back to Jerusalem. Here we go. Because after you sinned, after that sacrifice, you had to look ahead to the next sacrificial offering. So here's what Jesus did, and I know it's a hard thing. Christians have a hard time believing this. He died on the cross one time for all sins. Did it around 30 AD. He did it for all the BC sins and the AD sins, including the sins that we commit over 2,000 years later, you know. His sacrificial death paid the price. Hebrews 10:12 says, well, when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Now here's where we get stumped. We sometimes think that the sacrifice of Jesus, well, it only applies to the sins that we commit up to the point where we accept him as Savior and Lord. And if we sin after that, we get this crazy mindset. We think that our sins aren't covered. In fact, there's even a verse in this chapter that we're going to take a look at real close in a few minutes that some interpret to mean this very thing, that the sacrifice of Jesus applies to your past sins but not your future sins. That's why it wasn't uncommon in the first centuries of the church that people would postpone getting baptized until they were older. Until the lusts of the flesh had passed some by. They'd be less likely to give in to temptation, you see. But there's so many problems with this kind of thinking, I'm not sure where to start. First, this kind of thinking implies that salvation is a gift when you receive it, but then you have to earn it after that. You have to be good enough somehow after that. Secondly, this kind of thinking tends to reduce the definition of sins to things like the biggies, we call them, you know, drinking, drug abuse, having sex outside of marriage. And we know that sin's much deeper than that. The most damaging sins are like gossip, bitterness, envy, resentment, selfishness. Let me tell you something. You could delay baptism till you've got about a dozen more breaths. Okay? You'd still have to struggle with selfishness. And you're probably going to lose that battle more times than you can count. The third problem with this, what I call stinking thinking, is that it minimizes the sufficiency of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. This kind of thinking says that his death on the cross is not enough to save me. That I can only save myself by being good. Now, we got to throw that mindset away. Because in the book of Hebrews, in the letters of Paul, in the words of Jesus, you'll never be good enough to earn your way into heaven. So the sacrifice of Jesus is a once and for all sacrifice. Past, present, future. When he died on the cross, he paid the price for all your sins. So when we commit some sin, later on today, if the Colts lose, you know, the sin's already covered by the blood of Jesus. I'm not saying that if they lose, it's a sin. No. But the same goes for the sins that you will commit tomorrow. that I'll commit tomorrow, next week, next year. He once and for all paid the price. Now, as I talk about this, the inevitable comeback, and I talked about this last week a little bit, the inevitable comeback is this. You know, does this mean I can sin all I want because I know that God's already forgiven me? Well, that theoretical loophole might work if sin wasn't quite so ugly. Because you can't sin without hurting yourself and hurting others and creating distance between you and God. You break that fellowship. That's all there is to it. There's no such thing as getting away with sin. When you play with it, it can't help but damage you. It's just kind of what it does. So God offers us through Jesus this once and for all forgiveness. And why does He do that? Not so that we can sin with abandon, but so that we can grow and abandon sin. The writer of Hebrews says in verse 10, if you got your Bibles open, I'm going to use the Living Bible for this. It's a paraphrase, but I'm going to use it anyway. Under this new plan, we have been forgiven and made clean by Christ dying for us once and for all. Now look down at verse 14, would you please? Because by one sacrifice He has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. It's a process. We're in this process of the $10 word of sanctification. We're not perfect until we get to the other side, folks. But Jesus offers once and for all forgiveness. The guilt you struggle with, the shame, the pain, the regret, He says, I'm going to cover it all. You don't have to carry that weight anymore. You don't have to carry that weight. He says, that I've paid the price, Jesus says, once and for all. And now you can begin learning how to be holy. Secondly, this morning, got to keep moving. Second point this morning, we have once and for all access to God. Way back in chapter 4, Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Now, here in Hebrews 10, the writer tells us that we have, get this, unlimited access. In verse 19, again, I'm going to use the new Living. "And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus." He's saying that, you know, Jesus opened the door to the throne room of God. The door is open. It's always open. And here's another thing that we Christians, we're just different. You know, we try to figure things out. And sometimes we stumble at this, but we get stumped on this one. We have this tendency to believe that God listens to our prayers when, based on how well we're doing that week. We have a tendency to think that the door is open when we're good and the door is closed when we're bad. When we're having a good week, He says, "Oh, come on in, son. Come on in, daughter." We're having a rotten week, a crummy week, and He kind of goes, "I don't know, man. You need to work that out before you." No, the door is always open. You will never have a week good enough to approach God on the basis of your own goodness. That's just how it is. You'll never be able to say, "God, you know, I don't need to be covered by blood this week. I think I've got this. It's okay. I can walk on my own 2 feet." No. We have unlimited once and for all access to God. We can enter into His presence at any time only because of what Jesus has done on the cross for us. Now the writer of Hebrews says in verse 22, he says, "Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from the guilty conscience, having our bodies washed with pure water." Now have you ever thought, You know, I need to talk to God, but I'm just not worthy. Have you ever thought, you know, I wish I could pray about this problem or this situation, but I don't think He's gonna, I don't think He's gonna hear. I'm not a good person. Or have you ever thought, I know I don't have any right to ask God for help, for patience, or for God's forgiveness. Well, I tell you what, all those things are absolutely true. And still God says, what? He says, the door's open. Come on in. Come on in, daughter. Come on in, son. It's easy to approach God when you feel good about yourself, but that's often when you approach Him with the wrong mindset, on the basis of your own goodness rather than His mercy. It always needs to be His mercy. So hang on to this all the time with all your might. The door to God is always open. He's got an open door policy with His children. Do you need to be a better person? God promises to help you. And I love it that the writer says that our consciences will be sprinkled clean. What a beautiful picture that is. That's what once and for all means. Now the third thing I want you to see this morning is that we're called to make a once and for all commitment. We don't want to dilly-dally. We don't want to be lukewarm in any way when it comes to this. As I wrap this up this morning, I told you earlier about, you know, back in the first century, a lot of times they kind of delayed going and getting baptized. They want to make sure they're not going to mess up right away. They had kind of they were struggling with their understanding of the whole process here. But the writer of Hebrews gave a very strong warning against that kind of thinking. He says in verse 26, if we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left. Oh, that's a pretty stern warning. No longer any sacrifice. What's he saying here? He's saying you can't play games with God. You can't try to look for a loophole. You can't say, you know, I know what is the right thing to do. I know I need to accept the Lord, but I'm not even going to try right now. So the phrase, if we deliberately continue sinning, I tell you what, it's not referring to any specific sin. It's referring to a mindset of rebellion, of apostasy, of not accepting Jesus. Because of course we're going to continue to struggle with sin after salvation. I don't have to tell you that. You understand that. More than 20 years after his conversion on the Damascus Road, the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Romans, in which he cried out, I don't understand myself. He's saying, I just can't do what's right. I keep doing what's wrong. Paul understood that. So here's what verse 26 means. The writer of Hebrews is referring to the attitude that says, you know what, I'm not surrendering my life to Jesus just yet. I know I can have life in Christ, but right now, I tell you what, I'd rather be dead in my sin. And as we saw in Hebrews 6, if you keep that attitude long enough, it gets to the point where you can no longer, God can no longer really do anything with you. Because it really is a slippery slope. That's why the writer of Hebrews says in verse 23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. And toward the end of the chapter, in verse 36, he says, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He's promised. As I wrap up that third point this morning, and really the culmination of this whole message, God's calling you to a commitment to Him. He's calling you to hang on to Him, to put your hope and your faith and your trust in Him once and for all. He wants to be in a relationship with you. The Bible calls it friendship. Through His Son, Jesus Christ, He's demonstrated His absolute love and care and unlimited forgiveness. So the door to God is open. It's always open. And through His Son, Jesus, He's offering you absolute, unlimited access to His presence. I guess our heart and our minds, if we could get that, we'd say to the Lord, God, I'm going to hang on to You, and I'm never going to let go. I'm never going to let go. So God is calling all of us to a once and for all equipment. Christianity is not something you just kind of play at and to show up and to just enjoy the benefits here and there. No, it's a commitment. His death was a once and for all event for you, one time for all eternity. In Him we have forgiveness and acceptance by God, freedom from guilt, victory over sin, a reason to hope, a reason to pray, a reason to live. These are all yours. Once and for all.